I spent two baseball seasons in New York and enjoyed them most on Saturday mornings when the city composed itself with a long, slow breath. Maybe it was a sigh. Either way, on this particular Saturday, the sidewalks 27 floors below the apartment window were less cluttered. The taxi hailers appeared in a hurry, but not altogether panic-stricken. The dog walkers smiled and nodded at passers-by as their little city pooches, pleased not to be rushed, did their morning business. Across 90th Street, a broad patch of emerald green, conspicuously so against the old brick and brownstone and grit, hosted a game of soccer, filling the neighborhood with cries of encouragement, whoops, and applause. The sky was gray, a leaden touch to a yawn-and-stretch morning on Manhattan's Upper East Side. The idle observations from the uniformed lobby doorman and the waitress four blocks away at Gracie's Corner, where the wait was manageable and the pancakes were reliably fluffy, were about afternoon rain, the prospect of which further softened the jostle of the expired workweek. I liked it there. Dana and I had carved something like a routine from our first year east. What began as an exercise in survival became almost comfortable. We rented a one-bedroom apartment with a sofa, a coffee table, a couple chairs, bought a few things for the kitchen, and mostly ate out. We were in our mid-20s, a good time for exploration and discovery in a semi-furnished life. At first, we walked the neighborhood, within a few blocks of 90th and York Avenue, browsing the shops and studying the menus taped to the windows before widening the radius to include Central Park and the museums that run practically side by side along Fifth Avenue. We began to smile at familiar and friendly faces, the people with whom we regularly rode the elevator, the guy behind the deli counter a couple doors down, the woman who pushed quarters across the top of a stack of tabloids, change for our newspaper. Amid its swirling rhythms and every man for himself pretenses, New York was becoming a good place for us. We were learning about each other, fending for ourselves, accumulating the scrapes and bruises that come with the outsider's clumsy entrance. I'm not sure the transplants among the city's millions ever believe that life there can be done quite right. There's simply too much one can't know. There being so many wonderful layers of people and cultures, so many siren blips and impulses, and yet many find their spots. There is a life to be had in the spaces of stillness amid the commotion, and that's where we generally succeeded in hosting it. The job wasn't going as well. I walked with Dana that morning with the New York Times under my arm and work on my mind. A man pushed buckets of fresh flowers to the sidewalk, far enough to be tempting to passers-by, not so far as to be out of sight. The paper carried the story of the Yankees' loss last night at the stadium. A Cleveland Indians rookie named Manny Ramirez, raised in New York's own Washington Heights, hitting his first big league home run in front of scores of friends and relatives down the left field line, and two innings later, his second. The Mets had lost in Chicago. The Angels game had gone too late to make the early edition. There may have been a mention of me somewhere within those pages, which I'd chosen not to read. It was early September and beginning to feel like it. The weather was turning and the Yankees were in the race, in second place a couple games behind the Toronto Blue Jays in the American League East. Life and baseball were moving fast, each jostling the other to take the lead as Dana and I stuck to our recent game day habits. Me feeling the anxiety and freshness of a new 5-day cycle, eager for the ball and another shot. Her fretting that I'd lose again and we'd have to relive the previous 4 days. As we walked, we spoke of that afternoon's start against the Indians, what it might bring, then left the conversation as a pile of half-finished thoughts. We ate breakfast, the two of us crammed in the way people so frequently are in that massive city, shoulder to shoulder with strangers, yet feeling mostly alone. Dana, I could tell from her clip sentences, felt the gravity of the day keenly, even as she stirred her coffee. What we didn't talk about, I felt in my stomach. The ball game. My ball game. Hours away. Too near to allow me to ponder anything else. Too far off to do anything about. We returned to the apartment, and I left Dana there. Good luck, she said with a hug. Thanks, I said. We'll see what happens. Thinking. Sorry to have dragged you into this. I gathered my pre-packed duffel bag and returned to the streets to summon a metered ride to Yankee Stadium. Even at mid-morning on a Saturday, the mere 4 miles from the Upper East Side to the Bronx, York Avenue to FDR Drive to the Major Deegan Expressway and up to 161st Street seemed long. I wanted to be there, into my routine, burying myself in a pile of scouting reports, awaiting game time, a clock that wouldn't start until the heavy metal door to the clubhouse swung open. Taped to the other side of that door would be the lineup, me on the bottom, pitching against a team that 5 days before had hit almost everything I'd thrown and hit it hard. I stared from the rear passenger window across the East River, made dreary by the skies, and considered exactly where it was I was going.